Did Matthew, Mark, and John know Jesus personally? Or did they make up their stories several decades later? Ed Dickerson's article, Can We Believe the Gospels?, appeared in the January 2021 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Jerry Lynn Rogge, and I'm the Editorial and Outreach Ministries Director at Christian Record. Why was the tomb supposedly empty? I say supposedly because, frankly, I don't know that it was. Our very first reference to Jesus' tomb being empty is in the Gospel of Mark, written 40 years later by someone living in a different country who had heard that it was empty. How would he know? Bart D. Ehrman, New Testament scholar and professor of religion. The so-called Gospel of John is something special and reflects the highly evolved theology of a Christian writer who lived three generations after Jesus, Geza Vermes, scholar and historian. The testimony of these two scholars is representative of a growing chorus of intellectuals, including some biblical scholars, who deny the central claims of the New Testament. It seems like the Bible is on trial and the prosecution is winning. Today, many religious leaders openly question the reliability of the New Testament, and specifically the accounts of Jesus' life. And it's not just intellectuals and celebrities who call themselves atheists. Today, more and more people express considerable doubt as to the accuracy of the Gospels. Increasingly, it's fashionable to declare oneself to be skeptical of the claims of any religious text. Noted atheist and author Richard Dawkins said that, quote, "The Bible should be taught, but emphatically not as reality. It is fiction, myth, poetry, anything but reality," end quote. We expect such criticisms from people like Richard Dawkins, but when we hear it from an evangelical biblical scholar, it can be a little unnerving. That's why Bart D. Ehrman's numerous books, such as titles like Forged and How Jesus Became God, The Exaltation of a Jewish Preacher from Galilee, have caused quite a stir. Ehrman, who says he was raised a fundamentalist Christian, now calls himself an agnostic. He was especially focused on the development of early Christianity. His particular field of study is textual criticism, which examines various early manuscripts, seeking errors and inconsistencies in order to, if possible, eliminate all errors and produce a text most closely representing the original text. His work has led him to conclude, among other things, that Jesus was not considered divine until nearly 200 years after his death. Remember that time period. And that the Gospels couldn't have been written by the men whose names they bear. Ehrman doesn't consider the New Testament, specifically the Gospels, to be an accurate depiction of Jesus' life or the beliefs of those who actually knew him. He says, quote, "Our best sources about Jesus, the early Gospels, are riddled with problems," end quote. This statement, coming from someone who was initially a believer and who has made a serious study of the issues, can be pretty unsettling. To those who disagree with him, who still believe the New Testament to be reliable, he warns, quote, "People almost always find what they expect to find if they allow their expectations to guide the search," end quote. I suggest he take his own advice. The reliability of the New Testament is being tried in the court of public opinion. We're all members of the jury, and at first glance, it appears the prosecution is winning. How do we uncover the truth of the matter? The events described in the New Testament took place around 2,000 years ago. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John themselves are long gone. We can't cross-examine them, but can we defend their testimony? Can we believe them or not? If this were a TV mystery or a detective show, we'd look for an investigator who specialized in cold cases, crimes that were committed years ago and haven't been solved. And as cases go, this one is really cold because it's 2,000 years old. In a plot twist that's worthy of such dramas, it turns out that there is someone just like that who's already on the Gospels case. He's a real-life homicide detective. His name is J. Warner Wallace, and he has 20 years of experience solving cold cases, criminal cases that seem to have no solution. In his book, Cold Case Christianity, he tackles the case of the Gospels and their authors head-on. Unlike Ehrman, Wallace began as an atheist, and instead of taking a scholarly approach, he brought the tools of his trade as a criminal investigator to bear. Reading the works of Ehrman and Wallace is a fascinating study in contrasting approaches. Ehrman began his study believing the Bible to be inerrant, that is, without errors of any kind. As a textual critic, it was his job to find errors in manuscripts, and find them he did. In fact, he found so many that he essentially gave up believing in the truth of the documents. Wallace, on the other hand, began as a total non-believer, but he approached the gospel record as he would any cold case, as he would the testimony of witnesses recorded long ago that had been passed down through many generations. Scholars and critics, focusing on the errors and inconsistencies in the Gospels, found the documents wanting. Wallace, with his police background, didn't care whether the witnesses were without error in every detail. Instead, he wanted to know whether their testimony was reliable. Did what they say present a convincing case for the critical claims of Christianity? During his years as a cold case detective, the first question Wallace asked of any witness testimony was whether he or she was present at the scene of a crime. He declared, "Before I could ever take the gospel seriously as eyewitness accounts, I needed to decide where they fell on this timeline. The closer they appeared to the life and ministry of Jesus, the more seriously I could consider their claims." Unless the gospel accounts originated with witnesses who were actually present during the events they described, there would be no point in going further. Although many scholars claim that the Gospels were written as late as 2 centuries after the events they described, when Wallace examined their testimonies, he found convincing evidence that they were, in fact, based on firsthand accounts of the people who witnessed the events they wrote about. For one thing, none of the Gospels mention the siege of Jerusalem or the destruction of the temple, which took place in AD 68 through 70. Yet several gospel accounts show Jesus predicting these very events. Had they already happened, it would have been to the advantage of the gospel writers to refer to them, but they did not. In Detective Wallace's mind, this indicates that the gospels were written prior to AD 68. Wallace also noted that not a single New Testament book mentions the deaths of either Peter or Paul, which took place around AD 65 or 67. Altogether, Wallace collected 11 pieces of evidence in support of, quote, an early dating for the Gospels. The Gospel writers appear in history right where we would expect them to appear if they were, in fact, eyewitnesses, end quote. In short, they were there. Next, Wallace examined what investigators call the chain of custody. In working with a cold case, Wallace had to make sure that the evidence that was passed on to him was confirmed at the time, and that it had been passed down reliably. For example, the Apostle John taught men named Ignatius and Polycarp, who, in their own writings, affirmed the major claims of the Gospels, including the divinity of Jesus. Ignatius and Polycarp taught Irenaeus, who taught Hippolytus. And Hippolytus brings us to about 200 years after the crucifixion, just about the time when Ehrman suggests the idea of Jesus as God originated. Wallace shows a similar chain of custody for the apostles Paul and Peter, so he has 3 separate chains, and any one of which refutes the claim that these teachings originated at a much later date. Wallace examined claims that the apostles were lying. They made up their testimony about Jesus' resurrection, his miracles, and so on. He found that they had no motivation to lie. On the contrary, their insistence on their truth of their claims caused them persecution, suffering, and want. He concluded the apostles were free from ulterior motive. When examining the testimony of the gospel writers, Ehrman and the other scholars find the inconsistencies disqualifying. Wallace found just the opposite. "Every case I handle is like this," he said. "Witnesses seldom agree on every detail. In fact, when 2 people agree completely on every detail of their account, I am inclined to believe that they have either contaminated each other's observations or are working to pull the wool over my eyes. I expect truthful, reliable witnesses to disagree along the way." There's much more to the book, as Wallace, the cold case detective, meticulously marshals the evidence, weighs the testimony, and examines alternatives, building his case for Christianity. When he finished, he said, "We've examined the 4 important areas that jurors must consider when determining the reliability of eyewitnesses. The most reasonable inference is that the gospel writers were present, corroborated each other, and were accurate and unbiased. If this is the case, we can conclude with confidence that their testimony is reliable. We've done the heavy lifting needed to determine the reliability of these accounts. We've been diligent and faithful as jurors and have considered the evidence. It's time to make a decision. Fellow members of the jury, what say you?